Being recorded above. So we're trying to work out what does it mean that the Melech, excuse me, that the Kohen Gadol can be made in Bezdin. Why is the Kohen Gadol being made in Bezdin? Surely it should be considered a lack of his dignity. And where do we see that we have a principle like that? So we saw with regard to Hashavas Aveda. In the case of Hashavas Aveda, we say that there are various cases where you waive the halachas of Hashavas Aveda, and one of them is a zokein ve'ena lefi chvoidoi. It's not considered with his dignity to stroll through the streets carrying somebody's sheep. So why is it considered with the dignity of the Kohen Gadol to come and testify in front of Beis Din? That was the Gemara's kasha. So we're up to the Gemara's answer now.
Thank you.
The last word on the line. The last word on the line says the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yosef, Meid Lemelech. We're talking about when the Kohen Gadol is giving Eidos, but who is he giving Eidos about? He's giving Eidos about the Melech. So even though under ordinary circumstances it might well be considered beneath his dignity to have to be dragged to Beis Din to give testimony, but if he's testifying in a very high profile case, like for example a case against a Melech, well then that's not considered beneath his dignity. Have a look at Rashi. Omar Rav Yosef. Says Rav Yosef, says the Rashi, Ha d'ktani meid, comma, that which it says that a Kohen Gadol testifies, lemelech ka'omar. What it means is, not the regular case, but he testifies in the case of a king. Shehoyo melech ba'aldin. In a case where the Melech was the Baal Din, he was the one being discussed and judged. The Kohen Gadol yodea lo yedus. And a Kohen Gadol knows some testimony about him, whether for or against, but he's aware of testimony evolved in this case. So it's not considered anymore a lack of dignity because he's not coming for any old Joe off the street. He's coming for the Melech. Now, why does that answer present very obvious problems? Says the Gemara, I don't understand your answer. How can that make sense? V'hotnan. Surely we learned in our Mishnah, loy don, v'loy don in oisoi, loy meid, v'loy meid, ois, loy meid in oisoi, quote unquote. Didn't we learn in our Mishnah that the king is never judged against and is not testified against? So how can you possibly tell me that the Kohen Gadol comes to give testimony against or for a Melech in the trial of a Melech? A Melech, one never has anybody being made testifying against him, so the answer doesn't make sense at all. Neither would we judge him. If you look at Rashi, we never judge a Melech. If that's the case, my sahadusa bois, what edus? Sahadusa means edus. Which edus would you require? We never need an aid to testify in the case of the king because the king is never judged. In which case, we're back to square one. We don't understand. What does it mean that the Kohen Gadol testifies? If it's in a regular, normal case, then surely it's a lack of dignity. And if you're trying to suggest he's testifying in the case of a king, well, that doesn't make sense either, because a king never stands trial. Elo, Omar Rav Zeira. So we have our Elo. Elo, you're right, we have to backtrack. And we have to now consider suggesting a different teretz. And what is that? Elo, Omar Rav Zeira, Meid Leben Melech. Period. He's not testifying against or concerning the king, but rather concerning the son of the king. So it's true, it says in the Mishnah, that a king doesn't stand for trial, but the son of a king can stand for trial. So the Gemara at this stage is considering that on the one hand, yes, the prince can stand for trial. On the other hand, it's not considered a lack of dignity. Because once again, a Kohen Gadol is giving testimony for who? For a very dignified, very prominent person, namely the son of the king. So I cannot tell you that he's actually testifying in the case of a king himself, as we just said 1 moment ago, because a king never stands trial. But a prince does stand trial. Says the Gemara, I'm sorry, I can't accept that answer either. Why not? Ben Melech, Hedyot, who? Question mark. A Ben Melech is at the end of the day, has no halachic stature. He may be the son of a prominent person, but he himself is not necessarily prominent. In which case, says the Gemara, I'm sorry to tell you, that's still considered beneath the dignity of the Kohen Gadol to have to testify about him. It would be dignified to testify about the Melech, but we've already established no case like that exists. So what are you suggesting? It's the son of the Melech. I'm sorry, the son of the Melech is considered for this purpose like a Hedyot, says Rashi. Ben Melech, Hedyot, who? And if he's a Hedyot, says Rashi, Vahodar Kushyan Leduchta. In which case, our Kasha comes back to its original place, which is the Iker Zilusa Lekoin Godoil. That there is surely a Zilusa. What does a Zilusa mean? It's a Zilzo, it's a lack of dignity to be testified. Oopsie. It's considered a lack of dignity to be testifying against anybody who is not prominent. And the Gemara is saying that for these purposes, the son of the Melech, the son of the Melech is not considered prominent. He's considered like a Hedyot. You can hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, Rav Ron.
I don't understand why the Gemara is calling the son of a Melech a Hedyot. As a, he just said before, he's a prince.
That's what the Gemara is being chayza. Even though he's a son of a prominent person, but says the Gemara, upon consideration, we cannot consider him himself as a prominent person. He's the son of a prominent person. So therefore, if we're trying to weigh up, is this considered a zilzul to the Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara initially thought that perhaps not. And the Gemara says, no, I'm backtracking. I still consider it a zilzul for the Kohen Gadol because he's not testifying in the case of a prominent person. He's just testifying in the case of the son of a prominent person, in which case it's still a zilzul. And if it's still a zilzul, then our original question comes back. Yeah.
Wasn't there some consideration when Yosef was in Mitzrayim that he was a melech, even though he wasn't a melech, because of his stature, because of his wealth, because of his position, when he really wasn't a king?
Correct.
So maybe the word melech here doesn't necessarily mean melech, melech Yisrael, but melech meaning a big veer, a talmid chacham, a rosh ha'ir, something.
Yeah, else. Okay. It can mean that sometimes the Gemara uses the word melech actually to be referring to a talmid chacham. But you're right. Okay, so for the moment, the Gemara is assuming that melech over here is to be translated literally. So at this stage of the game, we do not yet have an understanding of the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah mean when it says that the Kohen Gadol can testify? In which case? Memonavshach. If it's a non-prominent person, well, then he wouldn't testify because it's beneath his dignity. And if it's a prominent person like the king, well, nobody testifies against the king or in any case involving the king because the king never stands up for judgment. So we have not yet worked out what is the case. Says the Gemara, we have another suggestion now. Elo meid bifnei hamelech. Bifnei hamelech. What is bifnei hamelech? We're not talking about that the king himself is up for trial. As already established, the king doesn't stand up for trial. But bifnei hamelech, the melech is there sitting on the Sanhedrin. Says Rashi, bifnei hamelech, shehamelech yoishev v'don b'Sanhedrin. The king is there sitting and he's judging on the Sanhedrin. So yes, we cannot be talking about a case of testifying against the Melech or concerning the Melech, because the Melech doesn't stand for judgment. Here, it's not a case concerning the Melech, but it's in front of the Melech. So how does that answer our question? Because if the Melech is present on the Sanhedrin, then apparently we would consider that the Kohen Gadol who gives testimony, that's not beneath his dignity. That's not beneath his dignity, because even though, yes, he might be testifying about Mr. Ploini, and Mr. Ploini is not necessarily a prominent person, but by virtue of the fact that the Melech is there on the Sanhedrin, well, that automatically gives it chashivos. And if it gives it chashivos, so it's not a lack of dignity. Says the Gemara, I'm sorry, that doesn't make sense either. You still haven't answered my question, why not? Says the Gemara, V'ha, but surely, ein moishivin melech b'sanhedrin, question mark. Don't we have a halacha that we never would sit a melech on the Sanhedrin? So how can you tell me that we're talking about the melech is not the one standing for trial? Rather, he's on the Sanhedrin, but that also can't happen because you don't put a melech on the Sanhedrin. For reasons we will discuss later. So therefore, we're still stuck. We still cannot design the scenario. What would be the case that the Kohen Gadol is giving testimony? How many answers have we tried? We tried one answer that he's testifying in the case of a king. Well, that doesn't work because a king doesn't stand for trial. We tried suggesting that he's testifying for the son of the king. Well, that would work, but I'm sorry, that's still a bizoyan because he's a hedyot. We've tried suggesting that it's a regular Joe who is standing for trial, but the melech is on the Sanhedrin. Says the Gemara, I'm sorry, that also wasn't work because the king doesn't sit on the Sanhedrin at all. So we still cannot come up with a case. What would be the case in which case a Kohen Gadol can come and testify and it would not be a lack of dignity? What can possibly be that case? Yeah.
How did Shlomo HaMelech judge between those two women with the baby if he wasn't supposed to be, judging cases?
That wasn't as a Sanhedrin. As a Sanhedrin, just to put him on the bench without a Dayanim, that's a different case. Here they just came to Shlomo by himself.
So maybe they're talking about this, a case where the king is judging a situation and the Kohen can testify.
It can't be, because if it really needed Edim, then by definition it would require Bezdin. Shlomo HaMelech was a type of case that didn't need Bezdin, just needed a Shikul Hadas, it needed a valued opinion. There is, by the way, a bit of a technical question, which Tosfos deals with. I don't want to learn the whole Tosfos, but it's worth pointing out the question. The Gemara had just suggested that we're talking about the Melech is on the Sanhedrin. Okay, great answer. So if the Melech is on the Sanhedrin, so that's why it's considered dignified for the Kohen Gadol to give testimony. Why did the Gemara reject it? Says the Gemara, it's not true. Because Ein Moishivin Melech b'Sanhedrin. We do not put a Melech on the Sanhedrin. Now that is a quote from somewhere, that we do not put a Melech on the Sanhedrin. One moment. Didn't we learn that in the Mishnah? The very Mishnah that we quoted before, which says that a king doesn't stand for trial, it also says there, Ein Donin, that the king would not judge others, he would not be in the Sanhedrin. If that's the case, why did the Gemara need to quote this Ein Moishivin Melech b'Sanhedrin reference? Why did it not merely quote, once again, our Mishnah? The Mishnah in the first Mishnah in the Perek. Just like in the previous Teretz where we thought we're talking about where the king is standing for trial. And what do we say? But the Mishnah says otherwise. So why didn't we quote that very same Mishnah as a disproof against this Teretz as well? If you're trying to suggest that the king, you're right, he's not on trial, but he is the one on the Beis Din, I'm sorry, that very same Mishnah says you can't do that either. Why do we need to now all of a sudden quote a different reference? That is a technical question. Go and have a look. The third Tosis on the Amud deals with it. Either way, let's come back to our sugya. So we're still stuck. We are still stuck. We still have not worked out what would be the case. When would you possibly have a scenario that a Kohen Gadol is giving testimony? If it's a regular Joe of the street, it's not dignified. If it's a melech, well, in theory, it would be very dignified, but it can never happen because a king doesn't stand for trial. If it's the son of the king, well, that can happen, but that's still a lack of dignity because he's not prominent in his own right. If it's a melech on the Sanhedrin, well, that would be a very nice answer. But again, it can't happen because a melech doesn't sit on the Sanhedrin. So what is the case? What is the case? Says the Gemara, final answer. Mishum Yakra de Kohen Gadol. Because of the honor, Yakra, Yokor. Because of the honor of the Kohen Gadol, also he would come, the Yosef, and he would sit there. Mekabli nihalei l'sahaduso. We would be mekabel eidos from the Kohen Gadol. And then koi, you would stand, have a ozil, and you would leave. And then uma'aynino le'anan bedine. And then we would be ma'ayin in the din. So what's the Gemara answering? This is not a brand new answer. Rather, we are regurgitating a previous answer. Really, we are talking about the son of the king. Okay, but we've already established that doesn't help us because the son of the king is himself not prominent. He just happens to be the son of somebody prominent, but he's not prominent. So the Gemara explains that the case is as follows. The son of the king is standing trial. The Kohen Gadol happens to have some testimony that he could be made in this case. Now, he can't come to Beis Din because it's a lack of his honor, because we've already established that the son of the king is not prominent. In order to solve that problem, the Melech would deliberately come to the Beis Din, not as a Dayan, but just to be present. The very fact that he's present, that automatically lends prominence to the case, and that would allow the Kohen Gadol to give testimony. Not that the Melech is going to sit on the Beis Din, and that's what the Gemara means when it says he will show up in the Beis Din. That will give prominence to the case such that the Kohen Gadol can now give his testimony. It's not a lack of honor. Then the Melech will disappear, and we, the Beis Din, will now investigate the case. Which means that the Melech ultimately was neither on trial, nor was he on the Beis Din, but because it was his son involved, so he came to be there present at the time, that gives prominence to the case. That is the scenario we're talking about. Again, look at the Gemara and how that fits in with the words, and then we'll see Rashi. Mishum Yakra the Kohen Gadol. Because of the honor of the Kohen Gadol, that's why the Melech is showing up in the first place. The Melech, why is he coming to the Beis Din? Neither is he testifying, nor is he on trial, nor is he a Dayan. So why is the Melech coming? The answer is, in order to give kavod to the Kohen Gadol. He knows that the Kohen Gadol wants to give testimony in this case, but cannot do so. Because it's beneath his dignity, says the Melech, fine, I'm going to help you. I'm going to show up in Beis Din in order to give you honor. And then it's a very choshava Moshav Beis Din. And then it won't be a lack of dignity. And that's what the Gemara says. Mishum Yakra de Kohen Gadol. Because of the honor of the Kohen Gadol. Therefore, Osa, the king will come. The Yosef, he will sit there, but not do much. Mekabli nihalei, the Dayanim will be mekabel from the Kohen Gadol, the Sahaduse, his testimony. Following which, Koi Hava, then the Melech would stand up, the Ozil, he would leave, Uma'ayinino, and we would be ma'ayin anan as bedine. We would then look at the, we would examine the case. So the melech doesn't have to stick around. Kohen Gadol doesn't need to stick around. But this answers our question. Have a look at Rashi. Mishum yakra de Kohen Gadol de yoda besahadusa lebrei. Because he happens to know some edus. Again, this word sahadusa. Sahadusa means edus, testimony. He happens to know some testimony about the son of the king. But he cannot testify. So he's a bit stuck, because if he comes, there'll be a lack of his honor. He can't do that. So therefore, osi melech, says Rashi. So the king would therefore come. Yosef, he would sit down. Ad the mikabel sahadusa, until the testimony of the Kohen Gadol has been accepted. The koi melech, the melech would then stand up, the ozil, and he would leave. Uma'ayininon anan, and we would now be ma'ayin, investigate bedina, in the din of the prince. So now everything is answered. Is this a prominent case? Yes. What's the prominence? Not the fact that it's the prince on trial, he's considered a regular person in the street. Not the fact that the melech is on trial, that can never happen. Not the fact that the melech is one of the dayonim, that can't happen either. Not that it's a regular Joe off the street, because that's not prominent. But rather the melech happens to be present in the courthouse, not involved in any way. Neither is he giving testimony, nor is he judging. So why does that give it prominence? The very fact that he's present. What's he going to do there? Absolutely nothing. He will sit there. The very fact that he's there gives it prominence. The Kohen Gadol can now give his testimony, following which the Melech will stand up and leave. And now the Beis Din will deal with the case. Yeah.
Does it have to be where it's a prince, or is it any time the Melech shows up, he's allowed to testify?
In theory, it would be any time that the Melech would show up, but he would only do so for his son.
Well, maybe he has a best friend, maybe it's his brother, maybe.
There's no question, obviously, that the presence of the Melech will give prominence to the case. But the presence of the Melech also has an impact, the fact that he's the Melech. I know later on, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I know later on in the Gemara, it deals with a case where basically the king shows up and the Beis Din keeps their heads low because they know, oh, wait a minute, how can I go? How can I go against the Melech? You know, how can, even though the Kohen Gadol is giving his edus, the fact that the others are there, how can I go against it? Because he's the Melech. So it doesn't that have a sort of a negative implication.
Right. This is going to be the next line of the Gemara. And we're clearly going to have to draw a distinction between the Melech sitting on the Sanhedrin, which means you can't argue with him, as opposed to the Melech just being present in the courthouse, which may be overwhelming, but at least he's not expressing his opinion. So nobody's required to argue with him.
One last question. I'm sorry. Didn't we consider Moshe Rabbeinu a Melech?
Correct.
And yet he was like a Sanhedrin.
He had the status of a Sanhedrin, but you're right. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have the problem of being a Melech. A Melech can't sit on the Sanhedrin because nobody's allowed to argue with him. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need anybody to argue with him because he was the whole Sanhedrin. He was equitable to 71. So have a look at the Gemara. Gufa. The Gemara now is going to discuss this halacha. Gufo, let's now reconsider. We were told that you cannot put a melech on the Sanhedrin, but we were not told why that's the case. So the Gemara is now going to look at that. Says the Gemara, Gufo, you told me, ein moishivin melech b'Sanhedrin. You cannot place a melech on the Sanhedrin. You didn't tell me why. Veloi, so too, it says in the same brisa, veloi melech, or a kohen gadol, be'ibur shona. If ever the Beis Din needed to convene to discuss Ibur Shono. You'll remember we discussed this at great length in the previous parak. A melech or a Kohen Gadol, for that reason, cannot be involved in the case. Why not? So now we're going to be told the reasons. Says the Gemara, why not? Melech b'Sanhedrin. A king on the Sanhedrin. Do you know why that can't be done? The Ksiv, Loi Sa'ane al Riv. And we make a little bit of a drosha, a play on the words, Loi Sa'ane al Rav. That's not what it says in the Pasuk. In the Pasuk, it says, Loi Sa'ane al Riv, literally translated, Riv means an argument. Don't be involved in an argument. But now we are making a drosha, Loi Sa'ane can also mean to be oine, to respond, like to be oine omein. Do not respond, don't read it as Riv, but as Rav, as a great person. What does that mean, don't respond to a great person? Look at Rashi. Loi sane al Rav, ein cho rashoi. You are not permitted listoir, from the word stira, to contradict, es divrei mufla shebedayonim. You cannot disagree with the words of the outstanding one of the dayonim. Ve'i omar melech choivo. Therefore, if in theory the melech would be on the Sanhedrin and he would say choivo, he would say, in my opinion, this person is considered guilty. Well, nobody can argue now. So, following that, loy motzi inach. The others would not be able, lemech zele zechusa, to consider him zechus, to consider him innocent. So you cannot have a bezdin in which the dayonim cannot express their opinion. And if the halach is, you're not allowed to argue with the king, it's considered a lack of kavod. Well then, if you ever put the king on the bezdin, you might have just jeopardized the whole case, because the king would say early on, I consider this person guilty, and that's it. Nobody can now express innocent. So that's why a melech can't be on the Sanhedrin. Okay, back into the Gemara. Loi melech v'koyen godoil v'ibur shana. Neither a king or a melech could be on the bezdin if they were discussing an ibur shana. Now, an ibur shana, the process of making a leap year, why can a king or a Kohen Gadol not be involved? Says the Gemara, because they would both have some bias. However great they may be in stature, but if a person has a bias, has an agenda, he cannot be expected then to be a dayan. What would be their bias? Why in the world would they care one way or another whether there is a leap year? It's an unbelievable terror to the Gemara. Melech mishum afsanya. And Kohen Gadol Mishum Tzino. What's Afsanya and what's Tzino? So look at Rashi. Mishum Afsanya. Mechalek Momoin Lechayoi Loisov. The king who's in charge of the budget and the economy, he has to distribute money to his soldiers. Kach Vekach Leshono. Such and such for a particular year. This is the budget. This is what we're giving the soldiers. The noyach loi. Therefore, it's very convenient for him. Sheyiu kol hashonim meubarois. Therefore, he's got a bias to make every year hashonim meubarois. Why? What agenda has he got? Because if he's paying these people by the year, what he'd rather have that the year was stretched over 13 months. So then when will he have to pay next time? Not in 12 months' time, but in 13 months' time. In which case, the king has every agenda, a bias, to want to make the year a leap year. So that his next payment will not be in 12 months, it'll be in 13. And if somebody has that bias, then he's by definition disqualified from being a bezdin. What about the last case? Why has that got to do with a Kohen Gadol? A Kohen Gadol is something else. Also, an incredible teretz. says Rashi, a Kohen Gadol is the other way around. A Kohen Gadol, he has an agenda in the opposite direction. He does not want to make a leap year. Why? What's his interest? Says Rashi, Kohen Gadol, Einoi Reitze Shetis Aber Shono. Whereas the Melech might have an agenda to make it a leap year, the Kohen Gadol has an agenda not to make it a leap year. Why? Mipnei Hatzino, Tzino means because of the cold weather. What on earth does that mean? So Rashi explains. Shetzorich Litboil. We know that the Kohen Gadol has to do Tvila and also Ula Kaddish and to wash his hands several times, the Yom Kippurim. How many times? Chomesh Tvilois V'asara Kiddushin. 5 times you have to go into the mikveh, 10 times he has to sanctify his hands and his feet from the Kiyor. The Kiyor was water, natural water outside. And if the weather is cold, then the water is cold. So on a regular day, the Kohen Gadol has to table every day. Fine, nothing you could do. But on Yom Kippur, where he's tabling 5 times, the Kohen Gadol is going to have every agenda to make sure, if he can, that Yom Kippur is not during the cold season. Because if Yom Kippur is in the cold season, then the water will be cold, and he's going to have to table in cold water, says Rashi. Ve'im tis aber shono. And if the year becomes a leap year, Hare Tishri, what's going to happen to the month of Tishri? It's going to get pushed up. It's B'mar Cheshvan. Which month is colder, Cheshvan or Tishri? Clearly Cheshvan. V'tzinas Mar Cheshvan, therefore the cold weather of Cheshvan, Tihiyeh B'Tishri, will be in Tishri. So he'd much rather not have a leap year, have Yom Kippur as early as you possibly can, because he knows full well that if you have a leap year, so you're pushing off everything by the month, which means you're pushing Yom Kippur into the winter months. It's going to be cold, and he's not going to enjoy toveling in a cold mikveh 5 times in 1 day. Unbelievable teretz. Who would have thought of this in a million years? The Kohen Gadol, one of the greatest members of Klal Yisrael, has got an agenda and therefore disqualified for being involved in the decision process of an Ibur Shana because he doesn't want to tovel in cold water. And he knows if we push off Yom Kippur such that it really ought to be Cheshvan, but it's now Tishri, so you're going to have the Cheshvan cold weather in Tishri. Well, then he's got self-interest, he's got a bias, he can't be on the Bezdin. So a king can't be on the Beis Din to the other direction because he would like to make it a leap year. So it's in order to fund the soldiers, not once every 12 months, once in every 13 months. And the Kohen Gadol is the opposite way around. He does not want to make a leap year because otherwise he's going to push Yom Kippur into the cold months. That's why a Melech and a Kohen Gadol both cannot possibly be a Dayan on the Beis Din regarding Ibur Shon. An incredible piece of Gemara. Okay. Mishan will hold it over here and we'll continue.
He's gonna hold Yom Kippur from the cold months. He's not gonna push Yom Kippur into the cold
months. Right. He does not want to push Yom Kippur into the cold months. Therefore, he does not want to make a leap year, correct? Okay, be well, everybody. Have a wonderful day.
Have a good day.
Shukran.